Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Vineyard. It's good to gather, whether we are here in Urbana, or we always say hello to our online audience. That's a growing audience. In Bloomington, hey, thank you very much, Bloomington, for loaning us Adam last week. That was a great week, wasn't it? I know. In Sullivan, a few weeks earlier, we had Carolyn, and that was likewise a wonderful, wonderful week. And I am just so aware of, we are a blessed church family. And even thinking about all who have gathered today, you know, wherever we are, your presence here indicates, you know, you're still hungry for God. You know, you're still seeking to grow in your relationship with Him, and that's good. You know, hunger for God is waning around the world. And I actually had a firsthand experience of that this summer. Happy, my husband and I took a dream vacation. We had the joy of traveling Europe for 2 weeks. And it was a real dream for Hap because he actually got to eat gelato 3 times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No kidding. And we had lots of fun. I mean, did you know you can go over 100 miles per hour on the German freeway? I mean, I wasn't driving, my friend was, but yeah, anyway, it was cool. That wasn't, though, what I wanted to share. One of the most impactful experiences for both of us over and over was visiting these gloriously beautiful, majestic cathedrals all over Europe. Here's the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, France. We were there on a very hot day in July. We are 2 of 13 million people who visit this cathedral in 1 year. And people are just standing in line, and it's quite the experience. And then here in Barcelona, Spain, is the Sagrada Familia, another just very unique, just tremendous display of architecture and art. And as we had these various experiences at these cathedrals, I had like one of those like Holy Spirit moments where I was just like, wow, millions of visitors clamoring to get in. And yet, so few worshipers. I mean, it's pretty well known that all the churches in Europe, for the most part, are empty. You know, there's obviously exceptions. But I was like, wow, what's happened? And I wasn't trying to indict them. I was just like, isn't the good news anymore? And I was aware then, you know, this actually same phenomenon is happening in America, right? Thousands of people are leaving the church. Thousands are choosing not to attend. Among those thousands are some people that are really, really dear to me, my family. Golly, what? And, you know, sometimes you want to just like, come on, God. And then I realized, you know, for me, even though I've been following Jesus for 47 years, I have to admit there have been times when the good news actually isn't all that good. You know, when prayers don't get answered, when life's challenges just implode on you, the Bible seems confusing, you know, you're like, I don't think the good news is such good news. So my question is, are we missing something? Because this is the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news, right? So are we missing something? And the short answer is yes. Now, don't check out on me. I don't mean like there's a better gospel, you know, or a different gospel. But lots of articles come across my computer every day. All of us pastors, we get all kinds of articles telling us, how can we stop the bleeding? You know, how can we stop this mass exodus of people? How do we stop the bleeding? And there's all kinds of suggestions. You know, get better buildings. Well, I think Europe has it up on us there, and that doesn't do anything. You know, have more exciting services. Well, I think Hollywood outdoes us there. You know, have better systems. I think Apple is pretty good at that. Oh, the one that really hits, better preaching. Like, oof. How do we stop the bleeding? Well, I think the Lord has an answer. We need a blood transfusion. We need a blood transfusion. We need a fresh revelation of the blood of Jesus. We need a fresh revelation that the cross of Jesus Christ was a total success. Do you know the Apostle Paul said, I don't want to preach anything except Christ and Him crucified. And he said, I'm well aware that is foolish. I'm telling you, it's getting foolisher by the moment. But that is the gold of the gospel. And I, for one, I want to go for the gold. Okay? I want a fuller, greater revelation. I want the good news to stay the good news. No matter what. You know, no matter what's all around me, personally, my family, the world, I want the good news to stay the good news. I want to go for the gold. So our new message series is called The Gold of the Gospel. Join me in prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the good news. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to teach us a fuller, deeper revelation of who Jesus is, the success of the cross, the gold of the gospel, that we can be strong in contradiction. We can be strong in all kinds of circumstances so that we can joyfully announce and live the good news, the gospel, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if this is a comfort to you or not, but this is actually not a new problem. Already, just a few years after Jesus had ascended and poured out his Holy Spirit, we have the Apostle Paul, who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament, and the letters, of course, are the New Testament, and he's writing because he was so concerned that the men and women who had heard the gospel under his ministry were now being led astray. They were either disgruntled or they were reverting. And he was consumed with passion for them and concern that the good news was no longer the good news. Now, unfortunately or not, the Apostle Paul was in prison most of the time. I actually saw the prison in Rome where he wrote the letter we're going to look at today in the book of Colossians. So his life wasn't all that great, right? Oh, but he had a joy, a desire, a delight to remind them, no, this is the gospel. There's only one gospel, and it is the gospel of God. And so we're going to open here today as he starts in Colossians 2. I'm actually reading from the Living Bible. So you can look that up on your phone or it'll be up on the screen. But what I think is interesting is his main, you know, modus operandi was prayer. And he said, I wish you could know how much I have struggled in prayer. Oh, he knew there was a struggle in prayer. He said, I'm saying this because I'm afraid. I'm afraid that someone may fool you with smooth talk. We pastors struggle in prayer. Our intercessors who are faithful, you struggle in prayer. Thank you. And one of our main concerns is that someone might fool you with smooth talk. Do you know there's a lot of smooth talk out there today? And it's more available than ever. And I don't mean that we're like, oh, afraid of getting deceived. We actually learn from the whole church. We bless you to learn from a lot of different people. That's not my point. My point is this gospel is under attack. This gold of the gospel. And our prayer, like Paul's, is that, you know, you won't be fooled by smooth talk. And now he's going to reiterate, what's at the core of that gospel? He's going to remind them, and he'll remind us as we read, this is the good news. Okay, so let's continue reading. This is Colossians 2, and he goes on in verse 2. He said, this is my prayer for you, This is what I've asked of God for you, that you will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. Okay, first and foremost, we need each other. That's why we actually need to gather, that we might be knit together with really strong ties of love. And he goes on. And that you will have the rich experience of knowing Christ with real certainty and clear understanding. For God's secret plan, now at last made known, is Christ himself. Do you know the gospel is a person? The gospel is a person. The gospel is the person of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God. Oh, aren't there doctrines? Absolutely. And there's all kinds of principles and how-tos, you know, salvation and healing and kingdom and forgiveness. It's all there. But at the core, the gospel is a person. And that's what Paul is encouraging his young converts. He said, no, you need to understand, I'm praying that you will have the rich experience. That you actually will experience. It won't just be in your head. You will have this experience of knowing Christ with real certainty. So that no matter what comes against you, you'll know Christ with real certainty, with clear understanding. Wow. That was his prayer. Because why? Well, God's secret plan, you know, this was kept secret for centuries. Now at last has been made known. It's Christ himself. It's not do this, think that, believe this, believe that. No, God's secret plan is Christ himself. He goes on. In him lie hidden all the mighty, untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And indeed, just a few sentences earlier in chapter 1, he wrote this. One of the most profound revelations in all of our faith. Paul wrote, it pleased God to reveal to everyone, not a select few. This isn't just for the smart. It is for the foolish. But it's for everyone. It pleased God to reveal to everyone, look at this, the glorious wealth of his secret, and this is the secret, Christ in you. Whoa. See, it's not just Christ out here, Christ up there. The gold of the gospel is Christ in you. Hey, you're a gold mine. I'm a gold mine. I know it doesn't seem like it most of the time. No, Christ himself. That is the gold of the gospel. And Paul says that Christ lives in you. That is the gospel. Now, you can't miss the language here because it's really important. He says, you see, in Jesus lie hidden all the mighty, untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you see? Things aren't automatic. They're not just obvious. When we come into relationship with Jesus, there are many things that are hidden. They're untapped. We have to mine for them, if you will. Oh, but they're mighty. Mighty treasures of wisdom and knowledge in us, in him. Now, I love it that, and I love Paul says it's glorious wealth. I mean, this stuff is mind-blowing. It's heart-blowing, actually. And we've decided to call this series the gold of the gospel because, you know, we've discovered the gospel, the good news, is like gold, right? Very valuable, very precious treasure. But like gold, it usually does need to be mined, okay? It needs to be mined. I was talking to my neighbor who's actually a mining engineer. He had just returned from a mining trip in Nevada. And I said, do you have to go deep? He was mining for copper. He goes, oh, yeah. And then I found out that the deepest gold mine in the world is in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's 2.5 miles down. Folks, that's all the way to the campus, okay? That's a deep mine. We got to go deep. You got to keep seeking. I don't mean striving. I don't mean working. You've got to keep seeking, mining for that gold. I'm inviting you to come on a whole journey of mining for the gold of the gospel. Keep hungering. Keep hungering, knowing you have Jesus in you. You have the gold in you. You can trust him because in him are hidden all the mighty untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we want to seek for it. But you know, sometimes you don't have to mine for gold. I wish I could be so lucky, right? A couple of years ago, I told a story, a true story. It's a family in Northern California, and they have a lot of property, and they, every day they walked the property, walked it with their dog, walked all the time, same path. But then suddenly, in 2014, the dog kind of veered off the path, and he was sniffing at something in the ground. So they went to look, and it was half-buried old rusty can with a lid on, and maybe some kid, you know, was hiding a treasure, you know, burying a bird. Your kids do that, have funerals in the backyard, but so they oh, let's dig it up. Let's take it inside. And it was kind of rusted shut and didn't have much hope, but they opened it and they started taking out these bags and opened the bags and, whoa, right there in their backyard all the time, they just stumbled on it. $10,000 worth of gold coins. Let it be, Lord. You know? Oh, but we have something much better, right? We have the gold himself who lives within us. But my point is, sometimes we're seeking, but I have found, really, again, in all my years of serving Jesus, I often stumble. I call them Holy Spirit stumbles. And all of us have these. Okay, like you get handed a book. You're like, I'm not interested in this book. But you begin to read it, and whoa, you discover something brand new about God. You know? Or you meet a person. When happened, I met John Wimber. We had no idea. That was just a Holy Spirit stumble. The founder of the Vineyard, that would change our lives. I mean, how many of you just stumbled into the Vineyard? No, don't show your hands. But it's true. Hey, come as you are. You will be loved. We're not a museum for saints. We are a hospital for sinners that we get transformed into saints. But yeah, that's right. These Holy Spirit stumbles, we stumble. But no matter if we're stumbling or we're seeking, we always have the opportunity to make a decision like, I'm going to go for the gold, and then what am I going to do with it? Am I going to squander it? Share it? That's all to be seen. Anyway, so as we examine the gold of the gospel over the next 4 weeks, we are... You know, we're not going to get too far deep into the mine, but I want to invite you to come. And I want to invite you to, you know, participate even on your own, inviting the Holy Spirit to reveal more of this gold treasure of the gospel of Christ in you. And our experience, even as a staff over the last 6 or 7 years, you know, we've had a real mining expedition going on. And we have discovered more and more of this gold, this one gospel. And what we didn't know, and we now know in hindsight, is that, wow, the Holy Spirit was starting to move across the face of the earth. And this is really important. And I had to think about this when I was in Europe. And I like to study church history. And it's fascinating. It is depressing and discouraging, but... I really love to see how just when it's at the darkest hour, you know, just when you think things can't get any worse and the news is like blasting how horrible everything is, boom, the Holy Spirit starts to move. And he's been moving now for about 10 years. Now, it's not always visible and the churches aren't filling up, but it's happening. And this move of the Spirit is actually something called Trinitarianism. And what that means simply is that we are seeing, in a fresh way, this glorious truth of the Trinity, that our God is one God, absolutely, one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, this was a truth that was fought for, bled for, died for in the early church. It's an extremely important truth. It's a complex truth. It's a profound truth, but it has a lot to do with what the Holy Spirit is showing us about the fullness of the gospel. Because just like our God is a three-in-one God, our gospel is a three-in-one gospel. One gospel, gospel of God, three different expressions. Now, I'm going to defer here for a moment to Professor Putman, and AKA Putty, because he has done such a masterful job really taking what we've been mining and putting it, you know, in awesome pictures, systems, simple language. And again, this is going to be going on and on and on. You know, we are just part of a bigger movement happening all over, exciting. And if you're ever scared about that, do you want to know what the measuring stick is? Is Jesus getting bigger, better, and more beautiful? If he is, don't worry. Okay? If you're feeling more depressed, discouraged, I can't do this, be worried, because the gospel brings freedom. The gospel is so glorious. And so Putty has done an awesome job. Now, first of all, this shield, this was actually originally a shield, he stole from the knights in the Middle Ages, because on their shields, they carried this representation of our three-in-one God. Not the three-in-one gospel, but the three-in-one God. And so originally the shield had like God, imagine God here in the middle, and then he's Father, God is Son, God is the Holy Spirit. But the Son is not the Father. You know, the Father's not the Son. No, they're three distinct persons. And that's really, really important because, you see, we have relationship with the whole Trinity. And as we relate to the Father, we relate to Jesus, we relate to the Holy Spirit, you know, that sometimes answers the question of why has the good news not been such good news? You know, because you didn't know how much the Father loved you. You didn't know the power of the blood of the Son. You didn't know the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so you are continually seeing this revelation of the three-in-one gospel. Now, the hero of all of it is Jesus. He is the one, you know, in whom are hidden all the mighty untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when we talk about the gospel of God, we see that it involves both a relational and a relationship, then identity, and then a destiny piece. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be addressing each one of these and showing how, as we have a fuller understanding of, wow, what does that mean? Our lives change. We love God more. We love others more. And if you look just briefly, I'm not going to spend much time here because we'll be picking up on it as we go. Jesus is the gold, okay? So if you... Jesus is the one who what? He comes as the Son and he restores us to relationship with the Father. He makes it possible for us to be intimate with God once again. Then you look at identity. Well, the shed blood of Jesus made it possible there for us to be freed from our sinful nature, all of our sins wiped out, rise up from the grave, a brand new creation. We move from sinner to saint. With the Father, we've moved from servant to son. And then, wow, the Holy Spirit, he comes, Jesus pours him out. So what? We no longer have to be these people who are just like consumed with ourselves. You know, the victim who has no hope and is in bondage. It's like, no, 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 didn't you know? Jesus destroyed the works of the enemy. Jesus bound the strong man. Jesus gives back to you all authority in his name. And now you can go and announce the good news. And so this is a three-in-one gospel, and it is glorious. Jesus is the gold, because at every point, it is Jesus who is restoring us to all that the Father has planned for us. It's good, because in Jesus, God's secret plan, now at last made known, is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the mighty untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So stick around again for the next few weeks and beyond. And of course, we always invite you to enroll in School of Kingdom Ministry, because that's where a lot of this is really dissected. And, you know, we go through a lot of scriptures. We pray over it. We practice in our own lives what it means to have God in us. How are we part of this three-in-one God who live in perfect relationship with one another, perfect union with one another? We're actually invited into that union. Remember how Jesus said, in that day, when I rise from the dead and pour out the Holy Spirit, you will know I am in the Father, I am in you, and you are in me. Mystery? Absolutely. Profound? Yes. Do I understand it? No. But I know it's true. No, we have glorious, glorious wealth. Well, I want to keep going for the gold. I want the good news to always be the good news. And it hit me in a new way as I was traveling in Europe. And hey, I thought I was on vacation. You know, do any of you like go on vacation and just like you kind of take a vacation from God? No. Wow, you guys just go. You take your Bibles. You get up and pray every day. You're journaling away on vacation. Well, I wasn't. And so I wasn't. And I mean, I was very aware of God. But I had this another very profound encounter, another Holy Spirit stumble, if you will. You see, Hap and I, part of our trip is we wanted to visit the homeland of our ancestors, the countries, France, Germany, that whole area, where both of us come from a whole line of great-great-great-great-grandparents who are from that part of the country, and we got to visit the quaint villages and the beautiful countryside, the farms. It's just all. It was very, very, very powerful. Except what I didn't anticipate was the spiritual experience that it was for me. I had been reading up on my great-great-grandparents' faith. Both Hap's parents and my parents or lineage are from the Anabaptist movement. And if you're not familiar with that in church history, let me explain a little bit. Because as I was reading what my great-great-grandparents went through, you see, they defied the state church. And that was, well, for many people, that meant death. Okay? And they're... One of their main issues was as they read the scripture or heard the scripture taught, they saw, oh, you can actually have a vibrant, real relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, it's not just going to church, going through the motions. You can know Jesus, but it happens when you make a specific confession of faith, you repent for your sins, you receive Christ, and then to demonstrate that, you are water baptized. Well, trust me, the state church did not like that one bit because they baptized infants. And you're probably like, well, what? Who cares? It's like 5,000, at least 5,000 people were drowned as they were being water baptized by the state church. Others were burned at the stake. And many people lost their lives contending for what they knew was the gold of the gospel, that Jesus was becoming more real to them. That what Jesus had done for them, they wanted to demonstrate. But they knew an infant can't do that. And that's why they were such staunch advocates for believers' baptism. And this went on, actually, for many, many years. And finally, like, our great-great-great-grandparents made the decision, you know, we're going to leave family, we're going to leave farms, we're going to leave finances, we're going to leave a language, we're going to leave a land that we love, cross an ocean, for a Jesus we love more. Wow. For a Jesus we love more. I want that. I want that kind of faith. I want that revelation. Now, I thought it was interesting, my own interaction with the Holy Spirit on this was that that same gospel, that same church that I was then raised in, I didn't want anything to do with it. It wasn't gold to me. By the time it reached my generation, it was legalistic, it was ritualistic, it was religious. The whole thing was you had to confess every sin you'd ever done. I mean, it took Happy 3 hours. Me too. No. We wanted nothing to do with that, okay? It wasn't life-giving. It wasn't gold. We weren't seeking after that. The very faith that our great-great ancestors and then eventually our parents, you know, had sacrificed a lot for. Well, the interesting thing is I was revisiting then, wow, Jesus, how did you do it like in my life? Well, again, there's moves of the Spirit, moves of the Spirit. You don't know what's happening. You often see it in hindsight. And when I sat on that couch at 405 North Matthews and was handed a random book by a person I taught school with, she wasn't a believer. I'm reading the book and I begin to weep and say, I want to know Jesus. Big and go. I'd stumbled on the gold of the gospel. Now I have a response, right? I can say yes, or thankfully his grace was there. Do you want to know how to access the grace of God for all? God's very, very clear on this. He repeats himself more than once, which is a good indication he's pretty serious about it. He says, humble yourself. Don't be a know-it-all. Humble yourself. And he gives grace to the humble. He gives his favor. He gives his friendship. He gives his empowering. He gives his life so that we can keep going for the gold, experiencing the gold in all that we do. Well, as I, again, back to my story quickly, I saw that was part of the Jesus People movement. I didn't know there was any movement of the Spirit at all happening in the early 70s. I didn't know there was a movement of the Spirit happening years later when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it was a massive charismatic movement. I definitely didn't know that there was a Trinitarian movement going on that we stumbled upon. Well, I should say, my kids stuck their foot out. Both the kids here in this church and my own kids stuck their foot out and said, Mom, Dad, what's wrong with you? You're not hungry for God anymore. Oh. They go, he is on the move. And indeed, he was on the move, just revealing again that beautiful relationship we could have with God from servant to son, that we could move from sinner to saint, that we could have a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit to announce to the world, no longer being self-consumed, but being a soldier in the army of God. We're like, okay, we're saying yes. And that's the journey we've been on now. Really, that started in 2010, and we've been on that journey now for about 6 or 7 years, 8 years, and the School of Kingdom Ministry is picking up on that, and I've just been struck again and again how the water baptism that my great-great-grandparents crossed the ocean for, now I understand so fully that Jesus took me to the cross with him. He took me to the grave with him. He resurrected me that I might live as a brand new creation. I might move from sinner to saint, filled with the Spirit of the Almighty God, sent in his name. Wow, thank you for the gold, Father. Thank you that you keep revealing layer upon layer. Well, wow, how do you just even begin to mine? Well, I don't think we can go wrong with praying the prayers of Paul. See, this was his passion, that we would know this, that we would have the real experience of knowing Christ with real certainty and clear understanding. For in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That is gold. Let's go for the gold. So let's stand up. At our sites, let's stand, because we're going to pray a prayer together. This is actually a prayer of Paul's that I pray almost every day, because this is overwhelming to me. This mining for gold is difficult. And I want to pray. Before I pray, let me just share one more thing. I wasn't sure I was going to share this again. You know, we've had the gold of the triune God, the triune treasure, the three-in-one gospel now for 6, 7 years. I feel like, you know, we have the gold. But what's happening now in my own life is that gold is being refined. And it's being refined in fire. I don't mean my kids are getting sick and my house is burning down. I don't mean that. I mean I've invited, our God is a consuming fire. Do you know that's a fire of love? And I've asked him to burn away every amount of wood, hay, stubble, anything. I've asked him for a baptism of fire. And I don't mean like woo woo woo. I mean, I want to be a fit vessel. I want to be one who has this treasure in an earthen vessel. I want it to be all gold. All gold. I know I'm already a saint. I'm not talking about that. I have asked him to burn away. Let's pray. It'll be up on the screen. Note, we're talking to our triune God here. I fall down on my knees. You don't have to do that. And pray to the Father of all the great family of God, that out of your glorious, unlimited resources, you will give me the mighty inner strengthening of your Holy Spirit. Stop. Oh, God. Your resources are unlimited. Give us that mighty inner strengthening of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ, keep praying with me, will be more and more at home in my heart, living within me as I trust in him. Yeah. Yeah, Lord, you're there. Doesn't always feel like it. Doesn't always seem like it. I pray you'll be more and more at home in my heart. I want to trust you more. May my roots go down deep into the soil of your marvelous love. And may I be able to experience this love for myself. So at last, I will be filled up with you, God himself. Oh, glory be to you, God, who by your mighty power at work within me is able to do far more than I would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond my highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hope. We love you, Lord. Oh, I pray you give grace to every one of us to go for the gold. I pray that we pray this prayer daily, trusting in our triune God to reveal the glorious gospel, Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the mighty untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.